You're listening to the weekly podcast with Pastor Steve McCoy from 360 Church in Sarasota, Florida. We hope this message inspires you to press beyond ordinary.
You know, in our lives, sometimes things don't always go the way that we think that they should go, right? And sometimes those things can be really funny. And so just to kind of get us going a little bit, in just a moment, I'm going to show you two videos and one picture, okay? And I'm going to set each of them up, okay? And so sometimes we have this vision of, you know, how things are going to go, and then there's reality. So every Christmas, my family and I, we love to make Christmas cookies. A lot of times we'll do that when we're setting up the Christmas tree and all that fun stuff. So this first picture that they're going to put on the screen is all the Christmas cookies. We've rolled out the dough. We've got the little shapes. We've cut them out. We're feeling very hopeful. And then the next picture... The next picture is how they ended up in the oven. They look more like maybe pancakes or something, I think, at that moment. So I just thought, you know, that's a great way for us to kind of get our minds around this idea that, you know, sometimes things don't always turn out the way that we think they would. And that's what I want to talk to us this morning about. I want to talk to us about the unexpected in our lives. And I think in all of our lives, we've had these moments that have come at varying times that are unexpected, that are unknown, that can be, you know, they can really disrupt our rhythm and our routine. And so I want to talk to us about how do we navigate the unexpected, okay? How do we navigate those situations that are really tough sometimes to deal with? And this morning, I'd love for you to turn with me to Judges chapter 6 and 7, and we're going to look at the story of Gideon, okay? And as I was processing this idea of the unexpected, I went to the story of Gideon, and I started to realize as I was reading through it that Gideon has what I like to say are four moments that we're going to highlight today, four unexpected moments, and attached to each one of those moments, I feel like there is a great lesson for each and every one of us to learn as we deal with the unexpected. So to give us a little bit of context, the book of Judges spans a time of about 325 years. And inside that time frame, 12 men and women are raised up as judges. And the reason they are raised up by God is because what we see happening is the nation of Israel loses track and gets away from the Lord. And so these 12 men and women are raised up to kind of help get the nation of Israel back on track. And that's what we see with Gideon. And in Gideon's situation, the nation of Israel is living under oppression from the Midianites and the Amalekites. And they're living under this oppression for about 7 years. Okay, and so just to give you a little bit of an idea, if you read chapter 6 through 8, you'll see that everything the nation of Israel produces, livestock, their crops, everything gets devoured, gets destroyed by the Midianites and the Amalekites. And the reason for that is because they have gotten away from the Lord and they have begun to worship idols. That's the main problem that we see in this section of scripture. So they are beginning to worship the idol called Baal. And so they've fallen into idol worship versus worshiping the Lord and following God. And so that's where we pick up the story of Gideon. And the first thing that I want us, if you're taking notes this morning, I'm going to kind of give you each one of these four tools that I believe are super valuable for us to navigate. So this first one that I want to give you is that God prepares us in the ordinary. God prepares us in the ordinary. You know, all of our lives are super busy, okay? All of us are working. A lot of us have kids. It's really easy to get caught up in our routine and really the busyness of our lives, right? And so when we are in those moments, sometimes we can look at those moments as, you know, this is just every day. This is a mundane moment. There's not a lot happening. It's not some mountaintop experience. It's just me going through my everyday schedule. And so that's where Gideon has his first unexpected moment. Look with me at Judges chapter 6, verse 11. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Abiezrite. while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. So I underlined that little section that says beating out wheat in the winepress. This would have been a normal task for their culture. This would have been something that was an everyday process for Gideon, okay? And actually, Gideon was doing this in hiding, again, because of the oppression that they were living under. And this is where God meets him. This is where God meets Gideon. He meets him in a mundane moment and an everyday task. So don't look past that, because I think it's super important when we understand the unexpected, okay? A lot of times when we are in this ordinary time, when we're in these mundane moments, it can be really tempting, I know for me, to coast and to just not think a lot about it. And sometimes it's so easy to coast in our busyness that we often forget about God. And we lose track that he is actually still working in our lives and still preparing us for maybe what is to come. Look at Judges chapter 6, verse 12. It says this, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him, and this is Gideon, and said to him, the Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor. If you look back at verse 15, I'm not going to read it today, but if you look back at verse 15, Gideon tells God, I am the least of my family, I'm the youngest, and I'm the least, and my tribe is the least of all the tribes, and his tribe is Manasseh. And so Gideon is already believing that he's not that important. He's already believing, man, I'm the youngest guy. I'm not, you know, you should probably be talking to somebody older than me. But God says no. He tells him two things there, right? I underlined them for us. He says, I am with you, and you are a mighty man of valor. And so I think these are valuable when we're in our ordinary time to remember that God is with us. Okay? It sounds so simple, but that God is with us. And a lot of times God sees in us what we don't see in ourselves. Okay? He calls Gideon a mighty man of valor. Gideon didn't believe that, but God told him that. Okay? And so sometimes it's really easy in those mundane moments to forget that God is with us. Sometimes we can feel like God is far. And sometimes we need to be reminded that God is close to us in all of our situations. You know, one thing that often happens, I think, in the unexpected is sometimes our comfort is a little bit disrupted. So you guys know I have a big music background, and in college I had to take voice. And so what they do in voice class is they basically teach you like all these different techniques for how to sing. They teach you proper breathing, all these different things. And what happens is you have these recitals, and so they call them voice recitals. And so one of these moments was a moment that was super uncomfortable for me. My comfort was totally disrupted. So we were leading up to this voice recital, and I had to sing a song in German. Okay? Wow. Now, I know, right? It's
sing it.
Crazy. No, you can't. And I'll tell you why I can't sing it here in a minute. So the title of the song is Ich liebe dich. Okay? And what that means in German, if I'm getting it correctly, is it's the easiest way for them to say I love you. So it was supposed to be a love song. It's supposed to be really special. Okay? And what happens in voice recitals is you have to go up, you stand next to a piano player, you're all alone, you don't get to hide behind a band or anything like that. And so I'm in this auditorium, and I have to sing this song in German. And so the piano player starts to play, and I just totally blank on the lyrics. I totally blank on the lyrics. And the pressure and the tension and the stress and anxiety are just building for me. And the piano player is being really cool, and he's trying to like repeat the measure, like dun 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 dun, you know, just trying to repeat it over and over. And I could not get it. It got to the point where I just literally walked out of the auditorium because I was so embarrassed and I was just like so stressed. I think I went over to my dorm room, and then some friends found me later, and it was just that moment where I realized my comfort was totally disrupted. And what I think for us to remember as we look at Gideon is the second point, is that God interrupts our comfort to mature us. So not only does God meet us in the ordinary, but God interrupts our comfort to mature us. I think in that moment, I took music a little bit for granted. I took my experience a little bit for granted, and I thought I could just get through it. What I should have been doing, the lesson that I learned, was I need to memorize the lyrics. Even if I don't know what they mean, I still should have memorized the lyrics. I should have prepared more, right? And so I think that's something for us to remember. Look at Judges chapter 6, verse 25. So it says, that night the Lord said to Gideon, take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has and cut down the Asherah that is beside it. So God has told Gideon, hey, I'm with you. You're a mighty man of valor. But the first thing that I need you to do in obedience for me, the next unexpected moment, Gideon, that I have for you, is that I need you to tear down these idols that not only the community are worshiping, but that your father actually has set up in his front yard. Kind of picture that a little bit, okay? So picture the pressure that Gideon must have been feeling, right? It's a little bit of stress. Like, not only does he have to stand up to his community, but he has to stand up to his dad and say, like, Dad, you're wrong. We shouldn't be doing this, okay? So look at the next verse, Judges chapter 6, verse 26. He says, and build an altar to the Lord your God on the top of the stronghold here with stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you shall cut down. Verse 27. So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. So there's a lot happening here. God is not only asking Gideon to stand up to his family, to stand up to his dad, matter of fact, but he's also asking him to now put an altar to the Lord on top of where the idol altars were, and to use the wood that you tore down to make your new altar to God. So it's like, it's a total like stick in the face. Like, you guys are living in sin. You're living in brokenness. You've pursued other gods. And so now I'm going to set up these altars in place of where the old one was. Can you imagine like how afraid Gideon must have been, right? And obviously he was, because he went and he did it at night. He had to do it kind of in secret, basically, because he was afraid of what the community would do. He was afraid of what the response would be. And how many times for us, right, when we're in uncomfortable situations, are we a little bit afraid, right? We're a little bit afraid of what the outcome's going to be. We're a little bit afraid of what maybe people are going to, how they're going to react, how they're going to respond to us. And what I'm reminded of is Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10. God gives us this promise. He says, don't be afraid, for I am with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious hand. What a great promise for us to remember. As God is maturing us, as he's breaking us out of our comfort with unexpected situations, and maybe some of you guys this morning, maybe some of you are walking in an unexpected situation. Don't be afraid of the discomfort that you might be feeling, okay? God is still working. God is still with you. He hasn't left you. He's right beside you, okay? Let's look back really quickly, because I think in verse 26, there's a word that I underlined called, and it says stronghold, okay? I don't think that word is there unintentionally. As I was studying, I thought, man, what a powerful word that is. He doesn't just call it an idol. He calls it a stronghold. And I thought about us when we're in these times of uncomfortability, when our comfort is being disrupted by maybe our circumstances. I know for me, a lot of times what I do is I go and I look for the solution. How do I fix it? How do I get past this uncomfortability? How do I lessen the tension that I'm feeling or the stress that I'm feeling? I want to get past that as soon as I can, and I want to fix it and I want to move on, right? And maybe some of you are like that. But what I think when we talk about how God is interrupting our comfort to mature us, what if we, instead of looking for the solution first, looked inward first? What if we looked inside of our lives and said, God, could you possibly be asking us to learn something in this moment? Could you be asking us and challenging us to grow? I know that it's so easy because, you know, none of us like discomfort. None of us like to have our world turned upside down, right? But I know that God a lot of times uses these uncomfortable situations to grow us, to challenge us, to ask us to maybe take a next step in our faith. And so as you're hearing that this morning, I just ask you to be open. If you're in an unexpected situation, if you have faced an unexpected situation, you can probably think back to those moments and say, yeah, I see where I grew in that unexpected situation. I'm reminded of David's heart. You know, David went through a lot. He made a lot of mistakes, right? And then in Psalm 51, we see him say this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Psalm 51:17. "My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise." So would we, folks, would we this morning be open to having a broken spirit, a broken heart for the things that also break God's heart? I know it's hard to hear. And this is what I've been processing myself as unexpected situations come. Would I challenge myself, and here's what I'm challenging us with today, is could we be open to looking inward, look in the mirror, ask God, what are you asking me to learn through this situation? God, it's so quick to ask him, God, please fix it. Fix it. I don't want to be dealing with this anymore. But I think a lot of times God keeps us in these moments because he wants us to mature and he wants us to grow. The third thing that I want to give you guys this morning is that God exposes our reliance on the natural. God exposes our reliance on the natural. Let's look at Judges chapter 6, verse 34 through 35. So now imagine just a little bit to kind of remind us of where we are. Gideon has been met by God in his ordinary. He's been met by God in the mundane moments. God has interrupted his comfort and said, tear down these idols, help get the nation of Israel back on track, help me get them back to where they need to be and seeking me and living for me and not living for these idols. And so we pick up in Judges chapter 6, verse 34 and 35. It says, "But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abiezerites were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they went up to meet him." So now, because of Gideon's obedience, right, because he chose to stand up for the Lord, because he chose to follow God in obedience, now he has some momentum. Now he has some energy, okay? And the tribes of Israel are beginning to gather, and they're beginning to get ready to stand up to the Amalekites and the Midianites and begin to prepare for battle so that they can get out from underneath this oppression that they've been living in, okay? So Gideon has all this momentum. He's probably starting to feel good, right? He's probably, you know, like, okay, I've got some confidence behind me now. And then God hits him with another unexpected moment, okay? Look at what it says in verse 2. "The Lord said to Gideon, 'The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me.'" Like, what? Hold on a second, God. You know, picture yourself in Gideon's shoes, right? He's been told by God, "I'm a mighty man of valor," right? There's some confidence in that. He's been told by God, "I'm with you," okay? He has taken a step, even in his fear, he's taken a step and he stood up to his father, to his community, and they took down the idol. So he starts to feel some, you know, confidence. He's feeling good. He's feeling some energy behind him. And then God says, "You have too many people in battle." Look at the next verse, verse 3. Judges 7:3 says, "Now therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead." Then listen to this. "Then 22,000 of the people returned and 10,000 remained," okay? I was never great at math in school, okay? But I think we can figure out very quickly that there were 32,000 people that showed up, right? 32,000, thank you. 32,000 people that showed up for battle. God tells them, "You have too many people. too many people for battle. I don't think any person leading a battle has ever heard that, right? And then not only that, just imagine what it would have been like to see 22,000 people walk away from your team, okay? Like, that is pretty heavy. Like, what is going on, God? My boys, they play tackle football for Sarasota Sun Devils. And so I'm just imagining us, like, when we're going up against some of these tough teams, our coach is looking at, you know, all 32 players and saying, hey, guys, you know, if you're afraid today, if you're not feeling up to it, why don't you just go hang out with your parents at the concession stand? Go take it easy. You know, the rest of us, we'll take care of the game, right? Like, that would never happen. That's totally irrational, right? No leader, no coach would ever tell a team, hey, if you're feeling not up to it today, guess what? You don't have to play. It's okay. Don't worry about it, right? So just imagine, like, this is crazy. For Gideon, the natural is getting worse. It's like, it's the opposite, God, of what I thought you were doing, okay? Look at verse 4. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. What? What? So, just pause here for a second. Okay, so there's 10,000 people left, right? Okay, maybe there's a little more hope. You know, we can maybe still make this happen, right? But then God said, there are still too many. He says, take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And any one of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. And any one of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, shall not go. Let's look at verses 5 and 7. So Gideon brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand, and let all the others go, every man to his home. Can you imagine? Like, I mean, Gideon must have been feeling like, are you kidding me? Like 300? We started with 32,000 and now we're down to 300 men? Like, this is unbelievable. And I think here in this story, we shouldn't underestimate that Gideon, rightfully so, is probably relying some on the natural. But God, I think, is breaking us away from that. When we face unexpected scenarios, God is trying to break us away from relying on the natural and to get back to relying on Him. Okay? My family and I, maybe some of you guys know, my family and I, we've been walking through a really difficult situation. We've been walking through an unexpected situation with our daughter, Macy. Back in January, she had to be taken to the ER because her legs were swollen. She had bruising all over her legs. She could barely walk. It was, you know, just a terrible, terrible moment for us. It totally caught us off guard. We were kind of going through our normal day on that day, and my wife got her to kind of her normal bath time and saw all this happening. And so we had to go straight to the ER. Shorten the story just a little bit. Ultimately, she was diagnosed with something called HSP, which we didn't know about. And we've had multiple hospital visits. Macy's had a kidney biopsy done. We've had multiple rounds of blood work. And so we've been walking through this, and we're still walking through it right now. And it's been an unexpected situation, guys. It's been so hard. It's been so challenging for us and our family. And as a father, you're asking all those questions, like, why? Like, what is going on here? Like, why are we in this situation? And it's been incredibly hard to navigate. And as I've been processing that and just thinking about this message, my natural, you know, inclinations were, as a dad, you know, I can fix stuff. okay? And when the toilet breaks or when something happens in the house, I go and I fix it. I go to the hardware store, I get the parts, and I go fix it, right? You know, as a dad too, I want to take care of my family. I want to protect my family. And this was one of those situations that was just totally out of our hands. There was nothing that I could do to fix it. Nothing at all. And so God was just pushing me. He was pushing me out of the natural. Okay? My kind of in my own power, I wanted to control the situation. I wanted to fix the situation. I still want to, if I'm being quite honest. I'm still wanting to come up with the right solution. But God has been reminding me over and over again, Billy, you don't need to fix the situation. I've got the situation under control. Okay? And I think as Gideon was walking through this preparation for battle, God kept stripping him down, of what he thought he should be relying on. And ultimately, he's asking Gideon, you have to rely on me. He brought him so low with the actual natural numbers that Gideon's only choice was to rely on God. And how much is that true for us, guys? As we're faced with difficult circumstances, as we're faced with the unexpected moments of life, it's not fun, but God is stripping us down so that we will fully depend on him and nothing else. Just this last week, my wife and Macy were right up here on Clark at the little SMH outpatient place over there. And Macy was getting another round of blood work, and they're sitting in the waiting room. And this is just how faithful God is. This is one of those scenarios where it's like I've always heard people talk about it, but it hasn't really quite happened to us. And it's just, I wanted to share it with you really quickly, just because for me it was a reminder that this is something more that God is doing, that God is moving and working even when we don't fully realize it. My wife that morning, you know, just she was having a tough time naturally as a mom. And she just had prayed to God, you know, God, would you just, you know, show yourself to me in some way. And so they're there waiting to get the blood work done. And a little lady comes up and puts her hand on Macy's shoulder and says, I just want you to know, God told me to come over here and tell you that he's got this. Wow. He's got this. And I don't know why you're here, but God is with you and he's got this. And he asked my wife, he said, you know, Mom, I don't know where you're at, you know, spiritually, but I'd love to pray for you. Of course, my wife was like, ah, you know, destroyed, right? And so this lady prays for Ruthie and Macy right there in the waiting room. And then she just kind of goes back and sits down and she gets called back to do her own blood work. But it was just one of those moments where you're just like, unbelievable. Unbelievable, God. Thank you. Thank you so much. You know, it was kind of just what we needed in the moment. And it's so easy, guys, to be caught up in how we think we can solve our own problems. But only Jesus can. Only Jesus can take these things away and move us along. And ultimately, he's the one who has the power to get this done. And the last thing that I want to share with you guys is this. And but before we get to that, actually, I want to share a quote with you that my wife and I, we love a pastor named Levi Lusco. He's an author and a teacher, and he has a church out in Montana called Fresh Life. And my wife sent this to me the other day, and I was like, I got to put this in because it's so good. And here's the quote. It says, hard times are a passport that give you permission to go places you wouldn't get to any other way. Hard times are a passport that give you permission to go places you wouldn't get to any other way. So Gideon is now left with 300 men. Okay? 300 men. So what does he do now? How does he fight, right? So the last thing that I want to give you guys, the last kind of handle that I want to give you this morning is that God directs us to rediscover the essentials. God directs us to rediscover the essentials. So Gideon and his men, they get ready to prepare their game plan, okay? And they're getting ready to set up their attack on the Midianites and the Amalekites. And what we see happening is that Gideon and his men wait till the night comes, and they begin to surround the Midianites' camp. Their camp was kind of in a low valley, basically. And so Gideon and his men are all up and around the perimeter, ready to go. And I want you guys, as we read this next verse, we're going to really zero in on the weapons that Gideon gives his men. Look at Judges chapter 7, verse 16. And he divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets into the hands of all of them and empty jars with torches inside the jars. Now, I'm not the smartest person in the world, but if I'm going into battle, the first thing I'm grabbing is a sword, a shield, a spear, a stick, something, right? I'm not grabbing a trumpet. I'm not grabbing a jar, maybe a torch, but these items are so funny to me and they're so fascinating. But I thought, what is it about these items that we could draw a lesson from? And one of the things that I thought of was, one, these are kind of everyday items. They are common items, okay? They are probably overlooked items, okay? Keep that in mind, and let's look at the next verse. Judges chapter 7, verse 19 through 22. So Gideon and the 100 men who were with him came to the outskirts of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch. When they had just set the watch and they blew the trumpets and smashed the jars that were in their hands. Then the three companies blew the trumpets and broke the jars. They held in their left hands the torches and in their right hand the trumpets to blow. And they cried out, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Every man stood in his place around the camp, and all the army, the Amalekites and Midianites, ran. They cried out and they fled. And when they blew the 300 trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against his comrade and against all the army, and the army fled. So amazing, right? God moved in a powerful, powerful way. God ultimately made the Midianites and the Amalekites kill one another. And those who were left who fled, if you keep reading in chapter 8, Gideon and his men chase them down and ultimately defeat the Amalekites and the Midianites, and they win the battle, okay? But what I want us to focus on is the weapons, okay? These weapons would have been overlooked, right? Like no one in this room would have gone and grabbed a jar to go into battle. And so I thought about that a little bit, and I think in our lives, we forget and we overlook the weapons that we have. And like they had three weapons, I want to remind us of our three weapons. The first one is this right here, the Word of God. God says that my word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, okay? This is our weapon. And Ephesians talks about it being the sword of the Spirit, okay? Next weapon is prayer, okay? And then the third thing that I want us to think about is this right here, the body of Christ, our community, our family here, okay? How many times when we're in the unexpected, we're in these moments where our life has been turned upside down, we're grappling for some sort of, you know, stability, something to hold on to. I know for me, how often do I forget to go to the essentials? God is asking us to rediscover the essentials. His word, prayer, and the community of believers that we get to be a part of. Guys, as we have been walking through our unexpected, these are the only things that have gotten us through. Nothing else has gotten us through. I've tried. It's not working. I have to come back to this. Have to come back to prayer, to getting on our knees and praying, okay? And in some ways, it's almost embarrassing for me to stand up here and say, I forgot about the essentials, okay? But God has been asking me to rediscover the essentials. And he's asking us to also rediscover the essentials. We've been given weapons, but how many times are we overlooking them? And we're trying to go to something else. If we are going to fight through the unexpected, if we are going to navigate the unexpected, we have to come back to these essentials. Okay? We have to come back to these essentials. There was a couple weeks ago where it was a Saturday night, and you know, a lot of times Saturday nights, I'm just processing the worship and everything that we're going to be doing the next day. And it was just, it had been just a really tough day with Macy. And we were laying in bed, Ruthie and I, and I turned to her and I said, I don't know how I'm going to stand in front of people tomorrow and lead them in worship and be able to have any confidence and be able to have any strength. And, you know, my wife just reminded me, you know, God is with you. You don't have to do it in your own strength. And that day, there was some different people that I didn't even know they knew what was going on with my daughter, but one person just prayed over me in the lobby. You know, I got a text from one of our co-leaders in our Connect group, and it was just like unbelievable how much God reminded me in my weakness, you know, that he is with me still, that he is working still. And that's because of that third weapon, the community of believers that we get to live in. We hold each other up. We support each other. We care for each other. When we're down, this is the group that needs to be, we need to be bearing each other's burdens. We need to be helping each other, okay? Because we were never meant to do any of this life alone, okay? We were never meant to be solo artists in this life, okay? We were meant to walk through life with a community of people, okay? And we get the blessing of walking through life with not only a community of people, but a community of people who are like-minded around the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so let's not forget that we have all the tools. We have the resources, guys. These are our jars. These are our trumpets. These are our torches. Don't overlook them. Don't overlook them. In fact, I would tell you to stop overlooking them. That's really direct. But it's what we need to hear. It's what I need to hear. Okay, so as we deal with the unexpected, I just want to remind us of our different points. If you're taking notes, God is prepping us in the ordinary. Don't underestimate your ordinary time. Sow into your mundane moments, okay? Spend time with the Lord. In your routine, spend time with the Lord, because all of us are going to walk into difficult circumstances at one point or another. So how are we preparing ourselves? Are we allowing God to prepare us? Secondly, God interrupts our comfort to mature us. None of us like discomfort. None of us like to be in upheaval. But I think as we look across Scripture, God uses difficult moments in the lives of those we see in Scripture, and we know in our lives, to grow us and shape us into the people that he wants us to be. God exposes our reliance on the natural, okay? He does not want us to rely on ourselves. We have to let go of our own power. We have to let go of our desire to fix things on our own, and we have to go back to the one who holds it all together, and that is the Lord. Lastly, God directs us to rediscover the essentials. It's easy to overlook this. It's easy to overlook prayer. It's easy to overlook the value of being here and being together. But let me tell you, those are the things that matter. Those are the things that are going to get you through. I know in this room, some of us are facing really difficult circumstances. I know it. And if you're not, you will. Okay? So, we need to have these tools. We have to have these tools. Let me pray with us. Father God, thank you for this morning, God. Lord, we just take a moment to breathe. Just recognizing, God, that you have promised us that you're with us, Lord. Recognizing, God, that you are working and moving in all of our circumstances, Father. I thank you, God, for doing that. I thank you for being true to yourself, God. Lord, I believe there's different people in this room this morning, God. If we unpack the layers of our lives, God, and if we were honest, some of us are walking through really difficult circumstances. Some of us are walking through really challenging times. And we're wondering and we're asking ourselves, how do we get through each day? Because it just feels overwhelming. God, would you remind us, Lord, that when we fully rely on you, when we fully depend on you, God, you will carry us through. You will hold us up, God. Other places in your word remind us that you're a rock, a refuge, a shelter, a covering, God. Oh, how we need to be reminded of that this morning. And God, maybe for some this morning, maybe the unexpected is just how you've moved in their lives this morning, God. Maybe there's some in here this morning who don't yet know you, who have yet to step into a relationship with you, God. If that's you in the room, I would just ask you in your own words, right here in this moment, just between you and God. God is listening. He can hear us. And he would just invite you to confess to him. Confess to him your need for him. And as you confess your need for him, in your own words, you can invite him to come in, to take control of your life. To be your Lord, to be your Savior, and to be the one that you fully rely on. God, I just pray, Lord, that we would remember all that you have given us, Lord, all that you have resourced us with, God. Help us not to overlook the essentials, God. Help us not to overlook your word. Help us to be a people, God, of prayer. A people who would not only pray in the secret place, God, but that we would pray for each other, that we would hold each other up in prayer, God. And Lord, that we would remember that Sundays are not just a place to get our spiritual fix. Sundays are not just a time to check off our spiritual box, but this community that we get to live in, is that we know is 360. It is so valuable. It's so valuable to be reminded that we are in a family, that we belong together, and that we are walking through life together. Remind us, God, of these things. Thank you for your word, Lord. I pray that we would be not only hearers of your word this morning, God, that we would be doers also. Because those are very, very different things, God. We can always hear, Lord, but it's another step, God, to take what we've heard and actually apply it to our lives. And I know it's difficult. I'm challenged by it myself, God. But I'm asking, God, that you would give us the strength. Give us the focus, Lord, to lean on you and to do what your word says, to do what your word is asking of us, God. I thank you for this church, God. I thank you that my family gets to be part of this body. Thank you for how you're moving, how you're working in our lives, God. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness today. And we pray these things all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for joining us. And special thanks for those of you who give generously to make this ministry possible. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can also subscribe or share it with your friends. For more information about 360 Church, visit us at the360church.com.